Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
Here we are. I'm in a Kinko's. Where are you?
Oh, you're in a Kinko's?
Yeah. Well, I guess they're called a FedEx office now.
Okay. This is old school. This is before coffee houses in the early 90s on the road. You had to go to these weird places to get any sort of computer action.
Right. Right. I asked at the desk. I was like, can I do this meeting?
Meeting?
Yeah, exactly. From your Wi-Fi. And she's like, the Wi-Fi is free. And so I bought a soda.
Look, I love muted Jackie. I'm so excited. You are afraid to raise your voice. This is going to be a very different podcast. I think finally I will dominate vocally. I'm very excited.
You will, because I don't want to, you know, what if other people are trying to get some work done? What about that?
Or do their podcasts. What if Ron Fetches is at the next table?
Oh my God, Ron. I just came from, we just landed here in Milwaukee and drove to the Armenian picnic. Because it's my brother's church's picnic today, and came from Minneapolis, and I left Andy at the picnic after helping my nephew get more water to sell at the event, and now I'm here.
Well, Jackie, I want to hear about every single show starting with Wednesday. You went Wednesday through Saturday, and you recorded your album.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe we have something. I believe it worked. I believe it's great.
What do you mean you believe?
Well, I mean, the thing is I haven't listened, you know, I think, 800 Pound Gorilla was there recording. Mm-hmm. And then Ryan and Damien are my film guys. They were filming. Mm-hmm. And Amber Preston found me a makeup and hair person.
Yay. And, you looked gorgeous in the picture you
still
tweeted.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, she did a really nice job. And then, so Wednesday was rehearsal and Thursday was the first night of recording and filming. And so, that one went really, really well. And so everybody was like, well, it's done. You got it.
Awesome.
And now it's all gravy. So, Friday, first show, I had a heckler. Just a drunk guy, not really a heckler. He wanted to heckle. I guess he was talking to his girlfriend before the show about what he was going to say.
Oh, no. Did they know you were recording an album?
Yeah, there were signs up everywhere saying you're going to be filmed, recorded.
Oh, my God. These fucking animals. I'll turn on the audience in a second.
My favorite thing was Brandon, the manager. He was like, God, I wish we had some sort of code word to get him out of there. And I was like, he was in the second row. It was impossible to get him out of there without it being a thing on camera. And so, I did use the code word, but it wasn't the code word that Acme's ever given me. It was an old, like, you ever work at a club where if you're having trouble with someone in the audience, you'd say to the bouncer, hey, why don't you buy this guy a drink?
Oh, so, yeah, I've heard that. I've never used it, but yeah.
I tried to use it. Turns out Brandon has never, nobody told Brandon.
So that you ended up buying a guy a drink. He ruined your show and you owe the club $11. Wow, Jackie.
Right. Yeah. So I have to say that it was, Friday first show, I get off stage and I'm kind of mad. And so second show, I'm just like, because, you know, I mean, the things that you say before you go on stage, especially for something that, you know, is being filmed or it feels like a bigger deal and is costing you money. I said, you know, because a couple of people just tried to talk me down and other people were just commiserating about the bad guy. And I was like, well, I can't think about the guy anymore. Right. Show's over. Next show. Right. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I'm just going to make sure I have, what I always say is I'm going to make sure I have fun and I try to make them have fun. Right.
Right.
And then that's it. That's yeah. all. That's the entire project.
Right.
And so
is someone making copies behind you.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It's going to be great. Be nice.
Sorry, guys. You know what? It's hard to do these every week.
They are
from
in
a
right.
pristine condition.
I think we found the name of the show. They are in the right. Yeah. No, it's a guy printing and he gets to. Yeah. it makes perfect sense. And so, yeah, I'm just, yeah. So Friday's second show was actually quite fun. And actually, you ever in the middle of a bit and you're like, this is going perfect?
Oh, you can't think that. You got to get back out of your head.
No. I was in the zone.
Right.
I was in the zone and it wasn't right. distracting at all to think that. It was actually good. Okay.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, this is going to probably be the take of this show. Can't remember the bit. Going to have to listen to the whole hour. Very disappointing.
Classic. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. You just remember the feeling. You don't know what it was associated to. Mm-hmm. It would be nice if you could tap, like do a little motion since you have video that mm-hmm. you yourself would recognize as you're fast forwarding, where you maybe just grab your hip or something and go, oh, when I grabbed my hip, that was the end of that shot.
Yeah, yeah. Or how great would it be? Well, it'd be like a nervous tic that would show up in all of my videos. And
people wow, you're pretty confident in all your stuff. I would have, I would hit it like once a year. And then I would be like, I was wrong.
I have to say that I don't know. I should have made notes after every set about what I liked about the set, what I didn't like about the set.
Right.
All I did was look at my set list and go, oh, look what you forgot. And so Saturday first show, full crowd, awesome crowd.
Yeah.
And the thing about Minneapolis, I had just done Flappers the week before, right?
Right.
And Flappers has a certain... I don't know. It's not really sophistication. I wouldn't go that far, especially not the Yoo-Hoo room. But they...
People just get sad in whatever room they showed up for. I don't think the level of sophistication changes do you?
No, but I will say that doing my home club in mm-hmm. Minneapolis, those people, I spent 10 years, you know, working with those people over and over and over again. So I've got a vibe with that crowd that I don't know that I have everywhere.
Okay,
I mean, I like
doing
stand-up everywhere.
Yeah.
But like when you go back to the Bay Area, you're just like, you fall into this kind of sweet spot with the crowd.
Yes. You know those people more than anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Saturday first show was almost perfect.
Mm.
Like, I think that one might be the base. And then, but I forgot one joke, but I've done it in three other previous shows, so it should be fine. Saturday second show was actually just super fun. I was actually willing to not do it. I was like, I think we got it for a show. Because like the audio guys and the video guys were all like, that was the one.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty great. Yeah. And I printed some posters and I gave them to everybody who like the club and the video guys and the audio guys and you know, Tommy Ryman and Brandy Brown from Minneapolis. I remember Brandy Brown's from Minneapolis.
I know, Jackie. I know.
Yeah, you know.
I think our fans know.
They were the ones who opened for me and they did such a great job. So freaking funny. Yeah. Yeah. So funny.
That's cool.
Anyway. Yeah.
I'm so glad it's over. Mm-hmm. I mean, how long has this been, like a year long buildup?
Year and a half.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
oh my God. Did you rent the curtain or did you buy it?
Rent.
Okay.
Yeah. So
what did Lewis think? Is he going to keep it? You should have color options. No.
He'll go back to it, to the rent.
Okay. I have ways to spend his money though, if he wants.
Yeah, he didn't get the PPP.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he apply?
He didn't.
Did he apply?
He did not.
Oh, he didn't. Well, you're not going to get it if you don't apply.
Right. He didn't think he was eligible because the club was sort of open and he was doing Zoom shows. Same reason I didn't apply for unemployment, I think. We were both wrong.
You were. All you had to do was be worried that you weren't going to make the same money as last year, basically. Mm-hmm. And also be able to prove that you're going to pay your employees the money that you would get from them.
Right. And he did. He kept the entire bar staff.
Yeah, so he should have got the
staff.
He should have got the money.
Yep. Didn't happen. But he paid me well, which is very nice. And I've paid most of this. It's mostly paid off.
Right.
Some of it is not. And then now we have to pay for editing. So it's good. It's good. It's coming right along. I gotta spend, you know, the week or so figuring out what sets are good. 800 Pound Gorilla was psyched that I had the art.
Yeah.
Because Jeff Tice made art for me.
Cool.
And so I had some posters and I have sort of a rough idea. I mean, he came up with a really nice idea for the album cover, but I was hoping to use a different font. And so I've asked him for that and he has a life lead and we'll get to it when he can, I'm sure, since I asked him yesterday.
How about Comic Sans MS? That lets everyone know you're joking. The comedy lady.
In italics. And that's when it's wacky. Where were you this weekend?
I just got back this morning. And I'm getting to the point where if I don't get eight hours of sleep before a plane, right, I'm ruined for like 3 days.
Oh God.
I had an 8:30 flight this morning. And it wasn't even that. I got like 5 hours sleep, but I'm still like, I'll never recover. I was at the Alameda Comedy Club.
Oh, how is it?
It is so cool. Okay, it's a little room. Patrick has like 15 cameras and he's live. You know, have you seen that video of the guy directing the Oscars or something? And he's like, go to seven, go to four. He's like doing that during the entire show, during everyone's sets, you know? It's kind of cool. So, because I had put up my little Canon camera, my little camcorder, and he's like, put it away. I've got cameras all over the place. He's getting audience shots when you talk to the crowd. In fact, his cameras are lighting the audience better than I could see. So I didn't know who I was talking to at the time, but anyway, we'll see what they are there. But there was always obviously some fun audience stuff I want to put up, but,
you couldn't see him calling the cameras.
No. He showed me later. He showed me later when he was doing the cameras and they have, they had separate mics for everybody. So basically 5 minutes before you set, you go grab your mic. It's wireless and he just turns it on when you hit the stage. So you can hang on to it, you know, while you're waiting for the other act to finish and stuff. It was really cool. Alameda is such a cute little town. I think Mr. Emily Heller is from Alameda, if I'm correct.
Oh, excellent.
And they have a ton of Victorian homes and it was like kind of chilly, which was nice. It's like a San Francisco weather, you know? And I went to, there's this beautiful park that's like 5 minutes from the hotel. Mm-hmm. And it's got geese all over it. There's geese everywhere. There's geese shit everywhere too, but there's geese. And like, I had to walk around the geese. They don't move out of the way.
No, they're pretty aggressive.
Yes. And I had a great brunch. I mean, it was like a little magical city. There was a farmer's market. It reminded me of Burlington. You know how you just feel like you're in the middle of the town square, and also Bloomington, Indiana, same thing, where you could just walk around and have all your needs met, basically, and just kind of pretend you live there for 2 days or whatever.
Right, right. Did you go alone?
Because my son's brother, his half brother, but you know, as far as I know, they're brothers 100%, you know, he's visiting. And so the dudes are all hanging out, you know, together. Okay. So I went by myself, but, and the shows were fun. I got a little bonus.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. Here's my bracelet. I told you we got a bracelet, right?
Yeah. You have a background, so I can't really see it. but it looks blue and something.
Yes. Well, yours isn't blue. I took the blue one immediately. So sorry. But
is it pink?
I think it's like, I don't know. I can't remember. I just went to blue. But our, one of our fan named Evelyn, made us a birthday presents. So, and I opened it and I'm like, two bracelets, and I put them both on. And then I read the card. I'm like, oh, I got to give one to Keisha. but it was fun. And there was, you know, there were times where, I just, talked slow. I was like, just what's the race? What am I hurrying to? And you know, when you slow down, especially when it's a bit that's not solidified yet, you know, that space that you give yourself, just a couple extra seconds, you know, and lets other thoughts come in. It lets other joke ideas come in. And so like, I think on the Saturday shows, I kind of was giving myself that note, like just fucking relax a little bit, you know, and see what comes up in between. You know, if nothing comes up, you just go to the next joke. But things bubble up a little bit, and not necessarily pausing so the audience can jump in. I just mean slowing down, getting to the punchline a little bit slower. You know, getting to the things that already exist slower to see what else you think of. You know,
yeah, that's a great idea. I had to make sure that my energy was high for even the stuff that's more sort of storytelling where I'm trying to get to the punchline. You know, some of my jokes, it's kind of why I took two of the bigger stories out and put the more dad stories in. Because I have to keep the energy up because I'm heading to punchlines. But there's a lot of information and there's a lot of sort of color commentary. I'm building, you know, this picture. So I had to, it was interesting trying to keep the energy sort of even during that, because sometimes when I was working on it in other cities for the last 6 weeks, it would dip and I'd be like, I'm just exhausted. And then I'd go into like the last two bits, which are, you know, big sort of 4 minute, you know, the real, it long, but I got
exposition, lot of pipe, as they say sometimes, right?
Yeah. Well, I just had to hold the pipe up.
Yeah. Right.
So
right.
So
right.
People could take hits off of it. What?
Oh my God. The analogy turned addictive.
Someone's coming in. Anyway, I don't know if you could hear the doorbell.
Should I say every once in a while? So, tell me your greatest flaw. Like, pretend it's a job interview so that you don't get kicked out.
What's your weakness? Where do I see myself? Where do I see myself in 5 years? What a horrible, horrible question to ask anyone.
No, and also it was a setup to many one-liners in the 90s.
right.
You know, like that.
Oh. Yeah, I was just talking. Yeah. I was just talking to my nephews, and one of my nephews, his birthday is the 19th. And so I brought him. He's the one who recommends manga for your young man.
Yeah.
And so I bought him sort of a history of manga, sort of how it got integrated into the U.S. Yeah. And so he was interested in that, but he was like, you know, I'm not reading a lot of that. I'm mostly, and I was like, oh, because I know he's been applying for, he's going to go into crypto programming,
anti-hacking or?
Yeah, anti-hacking, anti-whatever.
Cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity, that's it. And so, and he's a programmer guy. So I was like, well, what are you reading? And he was like, mostly the news.
Go back to manga, please.
Right. He was like, he's doing deep dive into some political stuff. And I was like, okay. All right. And then, so I turned to the other one and I was like, what are you doing? He was like, you don't want to hear. And I said, why not? And he said, I've really gotten into the UFC, which means I've been, and I said, you are not listening to that hack. And he goes, I'm listening to that hack.
he's listening to Rogan, huh?
Yeah. And I was like, you know, I said, you know I should be mad at him the most because he's racist and misogynist, but I'm mad at him most because he's terrible at his job, and it's my job. So,
you know what, Jackie? Every young man goes through a Joe Rogan phase. That is a fact. I expect my son to go through it, and I will be there to provide criticism and context.
And openly mock him, which is what I'm doing. I'm just like, I don't know. I mean, but his brother said, well, you know who invests in UFC is the Chechenian, the president of Chechnya, who's Putin's right-hand man. And I was like, oh, this feels like such a Cation, like, this feels like Darla and I arguing when I was 16, where she so much more information than I do, and me going, but I just like Harlequin romances. Why am I not supposed to? She's like, it's a rape fantasy.
God, that does ruin it a little bit, right?
No, it didn't. Actually, it was fine. It just water off my back. I believe Michael is also not going to stop watching UFC because of the investors,
right? So. Sure. My kid texted me on Saturday night. You know, about he had just finished the manga for Attack on Titan. Mm-hmm. Which is this incredible anime that they're
super
doing.
Super violent.
Very violent. We're rewatching it, you know.
Oh, God.
At night.
just in case, just right before bed.
Well, no, because we watched all the way to the end. It's complicated, right?
Yeah.
And there's stuff I didn't understand when the first time, and I was like, all right. And now that I know, they explained so much when you got to the end of the first half of season 4 that on the rewatch, I'm like, oh, and I keep pointing stuff out to my kid. He's like, oh yeah, I guess so. Like, I'm more into it than he is, almost, not really. But right. he read the manga, so he knows how the whole thing ends. And he said, it's going to blow my mind. I'm super excited. Yeah. But then I'm like, I can't believe I'm texting with my son about anime. Like, and I still, because I never wanted to have a kid and, you know, thought, you know, he would miscarry, you know, up until like the 8th month, right? Like, I was not invested in this at all. And then I'm like, this worked and he's pleasant and he's awesome and it's fun. It's always such a delightful shock to me. And almost I feel it once a day. Like, I don't take it for granted, you know?
right. Not until.
And not in this country. You don't take any, of your loved ones for granted in this fucking country.
Yeah. It's good for you. All right.
Yeah. So that's cool. Yeah. I did 3 additional podcasts last week. And
Whoa.
Yeah.
Ooh,
I almost passed out. Just various different podcasts, Jackie. They'll be coming
just
out.
Comics asking you to do their podcast?
Yeah.
And were they all just talk comedy or were they different?
I believe they were all comedy or me related, you know?
Right.
So and yeah. So, it was a wow. Mm-hmm. And this is the only podcast I can handle. I need to get this out. Please. Yeah, I have so little in reserve and I give it all to Jackie Cation.
It's beautiful.
Okay. I have nothing left. I'm telling the same 10 stories to people. You know, right. I feel like
That is the problem with doing more than one comedy podcast in a week where you're like, I just have the 3 stories. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
There's not going to be any different.
Yes. One was for it was based in Belgium, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then I did Andy Richter's podcast. I know him, so it wasn't like it. And then I did Hot Mess.
Okay.
Yeah. But I felt like I was just sort of, I was trying not to be the same person every single time, but I was just looking into this computer 3 days in a row.
I did radio for, they asked me to do the podcast for the club. And then a couple of different local radio things. And I was like, I can do the call-in radio thing. And I can do your the club's podcast because it's the club. I'm not doing the other radio and the other stuff. And it was the local radio that I called in was a sports channel. And they're like, you're from Wisconsin. You must be so excited about the Bucks. And I was like, that's basketball, right? And they're like, yeah, I take it you don't know. And I was like, I do not.
Jackie,
then,
they're in the Super Bowl this week. Come on.
That's what I heard. And I literally, so we're going through the Milwaukee airport right here, and I'm looking at the logo. And do you know that the slogan for the Milwaukee Bucks?
No.
Fear the deer.
Oh, is the buck is in the male deer?
Okay. Yeah. And it is literally the most terrifying looking deer. The image, it looks like it's going to get you. And, you know, and
it looks
of
like
course,
your car is going to crash into it and you're all going to die.
Right. I do fear the deer when I drive late at night.
Sure.
There are many, many deer. I guess it's the number one cause of death, the white-tailed deer. So
it's their revenge on us. And I can't blame them.
Nope.
Like the person making copies at Kinko's during your job interview.
Exactly.
It's, they're right.
They're in the right.
Yeah.
They're totally in the right. And then what else? It was fun to do that.
It's a lot to do radio and podcast when you're headlining on weekends. It really is. You kind of want to save your energy. And save your voice. You know, I'm starting to, well, not this weekend. I guess this weekend was the first one where I didn't feel like I lost my voice towards the end of it. Like my vocal cords are recovering a little bit, or they're more used to the.
You're coming back. You're back.
Yeah. The load, the vocal load every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, there's just a reason. There's a reason to, and I was so in my head about
right.
the show.
Right.
And you know, every summer at Acme in Minneapolis, they have this thing. It's a contest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a stand-up contest. And it's people who want to try to do stand-up. They get 3 minutes. They sign up. They bring their friends and family. It's hard to fill the room in the summer, obviously, right?
Sure, sure.
So it sells some tickets. It brings some new people in.
Yeah.
And people get to try. And the only rule is you have to not be a professional. You have to have never been paid to do stand-up. To be in the contest. And
so you have to have been doing stand-up 7 years.
Bam. And
yeah, thank you.
So Brandon comes into the green room on Wednesday and he's like, hey, there might be contest this week. For the week. And I was like, Brandon, can there please be no contest this week? I literally paid people to film and there's people recording and he's like, well, I'd have to push it. And there's a lot of special shows coming up. And I was like, hey man, I'm a special show.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is. I just rented a curtain. And he's like, yeah, yeah. I'll, and of course he was like, oh, of course that makes sense. That makes total sense. So
they were going to put open micers in front of you all week.
Yeah, because if you play July, it's usually
right.
That's the deal.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Well,
and I forgot about it because of COVID. So
sure, I will tell you that when I did my my special 45 mm-hmm. jokes about my dead dad, it mm-hmm. was basically a bringer audience. Tammy Joe produced it, and I did 4 shows in LA, and mm-hmm. I had the theater was filled each time because the first 3 acts were bringer comics were comics who were in the bringer situation.
Right.
Not bringer
right.
comics. But, yeah. And they brought crowd. I mean, I had some people come to see me, but not 4 mm-hmm. shows worth. And I was like, I'm not asking questions. You just fill the fucking room. Thank you. Let me tell my dead dad jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was, you know, and they, I guess, you know, they got to, I don't know if that was prestigious. I have no idea, but, you know, whatever. It worked for me, but that was many years ago.
Andy just texted me, hey, your dad's worried about you. And I'm like, hey, I'm doing the podcast. I told you I was going to do the podcast. I'll be back in 40 minutes. Hey, is it time to do a break, Kyle?
It actually, you hit it literally at 30 as you said that.
Well, there we go. You guys, we have a comic of the week every week where we pick some comic. They don't have anything in common, the comics of the week. Here's what they have in common. They're all really funny. But this week, who is our comic of the week?
Our comic of the week is Aisling B. Her Twitter handle is We Miss B, B-E-A, not
and
B-E-E.
We as in small.
B-E-E. Yes. She's an Irish comic. I've worked with her. I think I had Hot Tub with her. I think I've done a couple shows with her. She's very funny. And she has a TV show that she shot in Ireland that's on. It's just came out on Hulu like 2 weeks ago. It's called This Way Up. And she's pretty famous in Ireland, I think, in the UK. I thought we had already done her before. She also wrote this incredible essay about her father who committed suicide for The Guardian many years ago. And it's really, really good. You should find it. You can find it by searching her name. And her name is spelled, it's an Irish name. So it's looks like it's Aisling, A-I-S-L-I-N-G, but it's pronounced Aisling. I went Aisling to Wikipedia B. to double check because I always say it on my head the way I read it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And so we is in small Miss B.
Yeah.
B-E-A. So we Miss B.
Yeah. That's really awesome. Good. Really, really good.
Mm-hmm. All right. Other than that, well, let's do a Max Fun break.
Okay.
Since the dawn of time, screenwriters have taken months to craft their stories. But now, three Hollywood professionals shall attempt the impossible. Break a story in 1 hour.
That's right. Here on Story Break, I, Freddie Wong,
Matt Arnold,
and Will Campos, the creators behind award-winning shows like Video Game High School,
have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into an awesome movie.
Now, an awesome movie starts with an awesome title.
I chose The Billionaire's Marriage Valley.
Mine was Christmas Pregnant Paradise.
Okay, next we need a protagonist.
So I've heard Wario best described as libertarian Mario.
And of course, every great movie needs a stellar pitch.
In order to get to heaven, sometimes you gotta raise a little hell.
That's the tagline!
Check out Story Break every week on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then you guys, I don't know if you know this, but now's the time where I would like to talk about my perfect hair. Because my perfect hair is voluminous, it's full, it's shiny, but how does it smell? Function of Beauty's custom hair makes sure that you don't neglect the most powerful of your body's senses. You know how the sense of smell makes changes what you taste like? Please do not eat Function of Beauty.
Even understand that sentence, but I think I know what you're trying to say.
Function of Beauty creates your unique and customized hair care formula based on a short but thorough quiz to give your hair everything it needs to look and feel its best. Every product is sulfate and paraben free, vegan, cruelty free, add function, and Function of Beauty fans are absolutely crazy wild about the fragrances. There's tropical mango, sweet peach, crisp pear. There's subtler scents, the ones that I usually go for, which are lavender, rose, and eucalyptus. I like eucalyptus. Don't you like eucalyptus?
That's my favorite, but right now I have rose and I got the purple version.
Yeah, because you can pick colors.
Oh yeah, and I this is what I use when I get out of the pool. I hit the shower over at Verdugo, and when I use my second rate shampoo, I have to pour like 5 cups in my hand to get the lather I want. And so I just opened this new Function of Beauty and I over poured and I was like, oh shit. And my hair, it took me 10 minutes to get all the lather out. Like,
cause
you don't
super,
need
super
much.
Great.
It blows your hair up with suds. So,
right.
It and saves just, you money because you so little will clean so much.
And if you don't want any fragrance, you can get it unscented as well, just
correct.
So you know.
Mm-hmm.
So go to functionofbeauty.com/JackieLaurie to take your quiz and save 20% on your first order, which also applies to their full range of hair, skin, and body products. So it's functionofbeauty.com/JackieLaurie. And let them know you heard about it here, and you get 20% off your first order. And the quiz is super fast.
Yep.
functionofbeauty.com/JackieLaurie.
That was Jackie. That was a sexy ad read with your low Kinko's voice.
I like it.
Yeah.
I want to put some this potato chip, you guys.
We should put some porn music under that one.
If we see sales increase, we may have to.
So
sure. So I'm home for a couple of weeks, and I don't. I have some shows. I've gotten a bunch of, you know, I'm putting together that list of new outside shows. The mask mandate's back in LA.
I was just gonna bring that up. Like, I think with restaurants, you know, if you're mm-hmm. eating, you can take it off. So that that's probably going to be what it's like in comedy clubs. But I'm wondering if we comedians have to put on a mask because we're not going to be eating or drinking unless you bring a drink on stage, you know. And then, but then we're all just kind of getting around it.
Right, then you're gaming the system. Yeah.
Because this shit's super contagious, you know?
Right. Did you read that thing that Danielle put in the thread about how her friend at Kaiser, everyone she checked in to Kaiser Permanente, and it wasn't the full, like 1,500 people got checked into hospitals with COVID a couple of days ago.
Wow.
But not at Kaiser. So Danielle's friend checked in some people, and every single person she checked in had not been vaccinated.
Wow.
So it turns out if you're not vaccinated, that's how you get the disease.
Of course. Yeah.
That's how it's always been. Even before the vaccine was created, those are the people who got sick, the ones who weren't vaccinated. So maybe if you're not vaccinated, you should fucking get vaccinated.
God, I've never seen you so angry and quiet. It's really chilling. I like it better when you're yelling. You whispering your anger sounds like, I bet that's what your mom sounded like. Jacqueline Marie Cation. What's your middle name?
Chekhov. I can't have a gun.
Oh my God.
No.
It's
a new joke. I was trying to tell my dad a new joke today, that because mm-hmm. now I can do new material. Now I don't have to work on this hour. Lori, I don't have to tell you how freeing this is.
Oh my God. It's amazing. Oh,
it's like, it's the greatest. It's yay.
We might be back to more Zoom shows. I really don't know. But like somebody was saying, maybe in America, just like we have accepted massive gun deaths, maybe we're just going to accept lots of COVID deaths and just go on about our lives. You mm-hmm. know, it's like, oh my God, I can't take this country anymore. The level of, you know?
Right. Right. It feels like, do you ever read Watership Down? Mm-hmm. The first 80 pages, where the Warren is overcrowded mm-hmm. and all the rabbits are like, what do you want to leave the Warren for? And they're like, I don't know, because we're overcrowded and we're dying. And they're like, well, just go start a new Warren. Because that's really what rabbits do. Female rabbits, if there's too many rabbits in a Warren, if a female rabbit gets pregnant, it will self-abort. But if it does it more than 3 or 5 times, I forget, depending on the rabbit, it'll kill it. You can't absorb that many sort of fetuses or that many pregnancies.
Why don't we have that instinct? Because the earth clearly can't support all these people. We need to start killing our young.
And all we have are 2 billionaire inventors who are like, the only way we can fix anything is if we go into space.
It's if I go to space.
If I go to space, we'll also.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm going to New York on Monday mm-hmm. night for like a week.
Like tonight? Like the night this drops?
Yes, the night this drops. I think I'm at Flappers tonight as well. I'm on the late flight, you know, the JetBlue flight. So that's like 9:30. So I'll just do my set early and then, you know, hop on over to the airport. God, I love Burbank. Oh my God, I love that airport. It's all so easy. I mean, they're also seeing an increase in cases. And I just, it is like, if you and I get it, it'll probably be, you know, just an inconvenience or something. But we still don't know if we could get long-term COVID shit, you mm-hmm. know, from mm-hmm. a mild case. So I don't want to get it. And nope. I don't have anyone in my perimeter that's unvaccinated. So I'm not worried about passing it on to anybody if I were to just be a transmitter. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't want to transmit it to anyone accidentally that I might come in contact with, you know? My yoga class, but you know, I occasionally do hot yoga. And so I went last week and I was the only one in the class that wore a mask. I wore a mask the entire time. It was mm-hmm. disgusting. I could barely breathe. Right. And I had to keep holding, like,
I wouldn't pull the mask away, but I would just, I would puff it up so I could get air in. And every, you know, everyone's kind of looking at me like I'm being a drama queen. 3 days later, I get an email from the yoga studio owner. Somebody in the Monday night class tested positive. She was vaccinated, but she tested positive. So I went and got tested and I was negative. But I was like,
wow,
well, you know, I mean, we're in a room, it's closed, it's not ventilated. There's 30 of us. You know, I was just thinking if one person has it, it within 15 minutes, the entire, all the oxygen will be saturated with it, you know? And I don't know, if, there's no way to follow up. No one does any follow up. So I don't know if anyone else got it or, you know, it's just like, you're kind of on your own, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
very much so. It is. Yeah. Andy's been wearing a mask the whole trip. And, cause he's like, you know, I'm just going to go with the mask mandate from, it just makes more sense. And I'm doing it hit and miss, which isn't, I don't know what good of that is.
I'm not doing it at a, like I didn't do it at the comedy club. Right.
Right.
Because I'm going to be on stage. So what's the point of me wearing a mask, you know, while I'm watching the feature, you know what I mean? It's, I mean, I'm here, I'm in it. And hopefully the vaccine will work as it's supposed to. And so far it has. But you know, any other place like groceries, places where people have to go, like you don't have to go to the comedy club. So I'm assuming most people that are going are probably vaccinated, especially now, because if you're on vax, you know, you're actually more vulnerable than the rest of us, right? Assuming, you know, maybe I shouldn't assume an unvaxxed person has common sense. I don't know. But we all have to get groceries, right? So you are more likely to bump into somebody who's not vaccinated at the grocery store. So it's much more important, I think, to wear it there than at a place where it's an optional thing that people, I don't know. That's just maybe what I'm telling myself. But
right. And all the signs in Minnesota and Wisconsin just say it's optional. If you're fully vaxxed, you don't have to wear a mask. But there's no, you know, there's no whatever, there's no enforcement or no any of that. That's, I'm vaccinated. I'm probably not going to die.
And if you're, you know, your dad and your dad is a little more vulnerable, even though he's a vaccinated person because of his age. So just, you know, when you're out in amongst any people like at a Kinko's or but in general, try to wear a mask.
Well, I wore one when I came in and then it was just me and the woman working here. And this room is very big.
All right.
But now there's one other person working on the other side and it's fun.
Sure.
So, but we're easily 6 feet apart. And
yeah.
It's pretty well ventilated in here. So, yeah. Oh, I went and saw Black Widow. Did you guys see Black Widow?
No.
I saw the Forever Purge instead.
What? Why? Why
it's
would
my
you do
favorite
that?
Film franchise.
Oh my God! I'm wearing a Black Widow shirt.
Oh, I thought you were. I thought you were getting hot and we're taking it off.
Yeah, here in Kinko's.
Actually, exploring new things the show can do.
She's getting even sexier as the show progresses.
Like appearance bring on a real lawyer or exhibitionist element here.
Now open, you guys.
Jackie Cation finally open.
Oh my gosh! Finally. Yeah, I don't know what sets I have this week, but I'm kind of excited about them, but I also don't have any material. So I just have my one joke that I want to do. And then I guess I'll just work on, I'll probably write a bunch of new tags for all the stuff that I just recorded.
Yeah, that's what, it's exactly what you're going to do. Yeah,
I hate you all.
I'll be posting all my spots by the day, but I have at least three a day, three a night for
what?
And then a couple night, like Friday and Saturday, I think I have five.
Oh my God.
So, I'll post those every day, but I'm at the Stand, I'm at the Broadway. I think I'm at New York Comedy Club, one of them for one show. And then I also have like, shows at different venues. You know, I'm doing casual sets at the old UCB and I'm doing Hot Soup at the fat Black Pussycat, I think, which I've, it's
all that's Manhattan.
That's one of the, that's all in Manhattan. That's one of the Sellers satellite rooms, which I haven't been to. So, I'm kind of excited to work that finally.
Oh, cool. Are you going to see any of our friends?
I don't know. What do you mean?
Like Feb, like Jackie Feb.
Oh, maybe. I thought you meant like, the way you said our friend sounded so secretive. I'm like, do we have a gang we're supposed to be in touch with?
We do. We do. It's Kara Sultanovich, Kara Gruntowski, Jackie Fabulous.
Maybe Jackie Fab. I have no idea. I'll be bopping around pretty quick on the nights that I have sets. And then, I usually kind of hole up in Harlem during the day because it's sort of a voyage to get out. But I don't know. Right. It depends how gross the weather is if I want to, in the subway.
It rained so hard in Minneapolis the first day I was there that it was so great. My sister lent me an umbrella and I walked in the rain in an umbrella. It was pretty great.
Wow. There are
kind of the best of all worlds.
Do you kind of want to move to Minneapolis sometimes?
Yep. I really do.
It's getting to the point of why live in one of these larger cities, I don't know.
Except for I don't want to move away from, like, if I could have Los Angeles and Minneapolis together, which I can't.
Yeah,
I travel all the time.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I do. And so happy enough to do that. Hey, do you want to take another break?
What if I said no and just kept talking?
I'd edit it.
Go for it.
Hey, I'm Jordan Morris, creator of the Max Fun scripted sci-fi comedy podcast, Bubble. We just released a special episode of Bubble to celebrate the launch of our new graphic novel. At SF Sketchfest in 2019, we recorded a live show with Allison Becker, Eliza Skinner, Mike Mitchell, Cristela Alonso, and special guests Jean Grey, Jonathan Colton, Jesse Thorne, Nick Weiger, and a bunch of other cool folks.
We suspect he'll show signs of mutation when in a state of excitement. Now, Annie matched with him on Tinder, so she's going to act as the honeypot.
I do enjoy being called a honeypot.
Hey, you know what's better than honey? Gravy.
Oh, yeah, can I be the gravy sack?
Out now on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts. And pick up the graphic novel at your local bookstore today.
I'm at my only road work now. So it's New York coming up. And then 13th and 14th of August, I'm in Seattle. New Year's Eve. I'm doing Vermont Comedy Club at New Year's Eve.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so excited. Yeah.
That is.
My intention is to bring my son and hopefully they'll have snow. That would be amazing. Either way, it'll be magical to be in that little town, that little beautiful town during the holidays. I know
it really will be. It'll be gorgeous. And my next thing, my next headline set online.
Okay.
I have a Nowhere set.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Nowhere Club. It's Ben Glebe, I think, and Hofstetter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's on Friday the 6th, and then I think I go to Stir Crazy in the middle of August.
Oh, cool.
when Phoenix is closest to the sun.
Oh, yes.
That's when you want to go completely to Phoenix.
Yeah, I'm doing Paper Tiger on August 7th, which is the comic book store in LA, and then August 6th, I'm on both shows at the West Side. In Santa Monica. Cool. And then I'm doing, Montreal is doing like these little sort of, they're doing shows that are live and they're available to ticket holders, digitally. So, I'm doing one at the Dynasty on the 29th, with the Kindlemeister. So I'm excited about that. So shows are okay. Don't know what the future holds, of course.
Oh, always. But all I know is I don't think I have any sets this week, and I have to fix that. So, because I would like to go up on stage and do stand-up comedy without any expectations.
Did you send in your availability to the improv? They're due today.
They're due today? Okay.
Yeah.
Paige sent me a thing, so I'll get on that. Mm-hmm. And maybe I can pick up a bunch of sets. Mm-hmm. Carmen Morales is watching our dog in our house. And has sent me a picture of many tomatoes and a cucumber that she had to harvest before they went bad on the vine, or some bird ate them. Some asshole bird ate them.
Sure. I like how you're using the word harvest like she's out there for 7 hours a day, when in fact she just picked one tomato off a vine.
She picked 7 tomatoes and some cucumber that was allowed to probably get too big.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm looking forward to a tomato sandwich.
When are you going to grow apples so that I can partake in your gardening?
If I plant a red delicious apple, somebody hunt me down.
I will. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have Meyer lemons and Valencia oranges.
Oh, yeah. I love your oranges. Yeah. I love your oranges.
There you go.
Yeah, that's good to know about Carmen, in case mm-hmm. I need a someone to help out with the charmster.
Yeah. How's Charmy doing? Is she settling in?
She's doing okay. She's still a little hyper. I came home. I walked in and she was like jumping and, you know, mouth open, teeth out, clear eyes, full heart, teeth out, right? Just jawing. I'm like, oh, stop it. But she means well. She means well.
She really does. She's a very sweet, but she's a puppy.
Yes.
You know?
Still. Yeah. But yeah, it's getting better. And she's having a tough allergy season, you know.
Oh,
she's just a lot of scratching and stuff like that. So but keeps her busy. She's very busy tending to herself. Very busy.
A lot of grooming happening.
You know, and, I will say that this week I really was trying to physicalize stuff a little bit more, you know, mm-hmm. when I reminded myself to slow down, because I think with Zoom, we all just sort of turned into talking heads. You know, and you can use your whole body for jokes, and I'm still sort of like getting back into that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Anyway, that's it.
Yeah,
that was another revelation.
Another huge. Andy watched me do one set at Flappers last weekend, and he watched, I think, of the 5 sets, he saw 4 of them.
Oh, that's a husband. See, that's a husband.
So much.
No, but
so much good work being done.
Yes,
in his
and
mind.
He doesn't have to watch you again for 2 more years. Like
ever. It's just like my brother Phil came and he was like, I don't know if I'm gonna stay for the show. And I explained 1,000 times, I'm like, it's not Little League. You're not my dad. I don't care. and he's like, I think he ended up staying. So but he's
But he just came for dinner at Sticks. And
he
then...
came for dinner at Sticks. And then he was going to, he brought his girlfriend and her daughter and a buddy of his and that guy's daughter.
Yeah.
And they were all going to sit, and that was all well and good.
Yeah.
And watch a show. But then he ended up sitting in the back of the room with Andy for the show, I believe. And then him and his girlfriend, Phil and his girlfriend, bought a really beautiful farmhouse in rural Wisconsin, about an hour outside of Minneapolis. It is gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
It's in the prettiest little valley. And his girlfriend is a huge gardener. So there's flowers and there's vegetables.
If you sold your house in Van Nuys, what you could get something like that.
Yeah. If you sold your apartment in Harlem, you could get 9 of those.
I'm trying to get you back there, not me.
I know, I'm good. You could move to the Bay Area with both your house and your apartment, and then just live in the Bay Area.
Yes, I guess so.
But you'd have to want to.
I did have a fantasy of moving to Alameda. It's incredibly expensive. But what was I going to say? I forget.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But whatever. But so people came to the shows, and Lewis had said the nicest thing before the Saturday first show. He was like, "You've already got it in the can. Don't even sweat it."
Aww.
And then he had to leave, so it was good. And we were hanging out, and I was telling him that that he's the kind of guy that you shouldn't tell him that you can't book somebody, because I was trying to. Because I'm really hoping he doesn't book Bill Cosby. Yeah, next week.
Louis there next week.
Yeah, I mean, I almost took a picture of the calendar.
Yeah. Because
the calendar is right before you go in the room.
Right.
And it has a list. So I'm there this week. I was there this week. My next week says TBA. It's completely sold out.
Oh, my God. Week, hilarious.
The following week says Mike Kaplan. And,
if only you, maybe we should legally change our name to TBA and we could get all... We could get Louis fans, Ryan Callen's fans. We could get all the offenders fans. That would be that would be money making.
It would be whatever it is. I do want to do. I was just reading about someone doing Nashville Zanies, and I, you know, and the 800 Pound Gorilla guys are from Nashville. And they were. I was talking to the guy, and he was talking about how it's a really cool room, but it's actually quite hard to mic. Like, it's not ideal for doing a thing for
an album. Yeah,
because it's so hard to mic. But I've only played that room. I played that room twice. Once the most current time was I opened for Maria in that room, and then prior to that, I did my comedy on the road there in '94.
Oh, cool. I've never worked that room.
It's weirdly shaped and it has kind of a peak. Like it has some sort of weird vaulting where the laughs kind of go up and out. And you're just like, boo.
Well,
you know.
I don't know who books it, but they never.
Yeah, I can't remember who books
jumped aboard the Lori Kilmartin train. Mm-mm. But there's still always room. That's the thing. There are seats available still.
Right. It is an option. If anybody is looking for tickets, you can become a lifetime subscriber. And I am. Yeah. So other than that, I'm looking forward to just finishing looking at all the editing and everything. So.
Oh my God. I know I'm on draft 7 or version 7 of the album, but I was getting down to very minute little notes. So this might be it. And then Kim New Money left a Dropbox of 10 million pictures of me in a corset that I have to look through. So,
Right.
It's always,
I have to say that the 800 pound gorilla guy, when I sent him the art, he goes, wait, you have the art? And I was trying, and Carmen was like, you're not going to make CDs or a DVD, are you? And I was like, I was thinking about maybe just doing like 100 of them or something. And she's like, I have been in your garage, Jackie. Please do not do hard copies.
Yeah.
She's like, just do vinyl. And I was like, I don't want any part of vinyl.
Really?
Vinyl is even dumber.
It's so expensive and it's hard to travel with.
It's hard to travel with.
Sure, but you could just
nobody buys it. There's like nine bearded
people buy
youth.
It. I don't know. Maybe it's worth it to have 10. Get 10 records.
If I were a musical person, and I was into vinyl, I might do it.
Okay,
but because I'm not into vinyl, it feels posery. Which is very much a superhero landing. That's a Black Widow reference. You people need to see a movie. So it would be super posery. It would be excessive. There's absolutely nowhere in my garage I want to store 100 vinyl albums.
Okay.
That would, of course, then warp immediately in the sun of the valley. So, remember, vinyl, it warps.
I get, got it. You know, Kyle and I made our pitch. For you to waste valuable space.
It was that it's expensive and it's hard to travel with.
And then I lost my temper. Wait, what just happened?
Kyle, we're running out of steam. Please, God, tell us.
We got
how far?
2 minutes?
3 minutes left. So let's make it whatever it's going
to
be.
Let's channel to it. I had a shish kebab with a little pilaf.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the Armenian picnic after this. And then my brother will no doubt put me to work. I've already had to take my nephew to go get more water to sell to the people.
Listen, you already said this early on, so you're repeating information, but I have new things to say.
Oh, thank God.
Are your people, the Armenians, you know your people.
I do.
Are you guys excited? Because Sona Movsesian, who's Conan's assistant, just gave birth to twins. You guys talking about that at your church?
It's coming up a lot. We're really hoping that she's named them Mugardich and Elsapert. What has she named them?
One of them's Michael.
Which is Mugardich in Armenian.
I think
that's hilarious.
What about Daniel? Is that a name? Is that an Armenian?
Daniel?
Like Daniel with a T?
Oh, it's interesting. My grandfather's name is David, but it was David with a T. It was Tavit.
Interesting. I don't know what's happening, but I just thought I'd give you guys something to talk about at the picnic besides water sales.
Well, there's my nephew Michael, whose Armenian name is Mugardich.
Yeah.
My nephew Michael's girlfriend is Armenian, and her dad is in the he's got the band. So they're the ones playing the Armenian songs. And so as I pulled up, they were jamming some Armenian tunes. And I said, like I always do to Andy, whenever we hear something that is super different, I say, I love this song. I was just humming it. And
Jackie, and your people stay pretty tight together.
And then Andy said, I think the chorus is coming up.
The and what? So, you think the what?
The chorus.
I'm sorry, I interrupted your joke.
No worries.
That's all right. I think it survived the heckle intact and got the big laugh.
We got the big laugh from Kyle, which is what we're looking for these days. I have to say that I have to go away now.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.